13. By this blood.
Exploded.
That's what I said.
You also said the Voss discovered your cache of silver bombs.
They did? Gabriel shrugged. The best way to take a hound off the scent is toss it a bone. And the best way to have someone act a fool is to let them believe they're clever. I placed the silver bombs just right. Shallow enough to be found, deep enough to look hidden. But deeper still, far down among the splinters of those wasted bodies and broken coffins in the fountain's belly, I'd hid the real threat. The whole fucking barrel of it.
The black Ignis you brought from Saint-Michon,
Jean-Francois realized. Gabriel nodded. It was a shame to have to use it all. But, like I told Selene, if you don't bet, you won't win. And I'd no idea of the strength that was headed for us when I'd planted it. Even as it was, the explosion only killed two thrall swords clean. But the blast shook the night, and the shrapnel flew like knives, and the music of screaming cold-bloods filled the square along with the blossom of flame. I lifted the phial from the cracked battlement, upended the glass, the Grail's blood spilling down Astrinka's edge, the same blood and blade that had burned the beast of Velen to ashes. And slinging off my greatcoat, skin aglow with the firestorm of my aegis, I dropped off the walls of that broken keep and headfirst into fucking slaughter. It was chaos. Flame and smoke, blood and fury. Ashtrinka was singing in my head, not a nursery rhyme tonight, but a funeral hymn. The grim and beautiful Memoria Dei. I pictured the faces of my Astrid, my patients, seeking the terrors through the pall of dust and sparks. A howling figure staggered toward me, skin ablaze and eyes blinded. I took its grasping hand off at the elbow and its yowling mouth off at the neck. Thrall sword, I realized. Not the prey I hunted for.
The Grail!
I heard the terrors roar. Seize the Grail! Something struck my chest, a bone-jarring impact, followed by another to my shoulder. More thrall swords, I realized, a pair, reloading their crossbows as I charged through the smoke toward them. They were set to pepper me again before I reached them, and I raised one arm to shield my face, but a shape flashed from the darkness before they could fire. A blur with dead eyes and a gleaming crimson sword. Selene moved like the wind, her awful face serene as a prioress at prayer. She cut into one man from behind, and though he was a thrall of Ironheart blood in a suit of double-linked mail, her bloody blade shredded him like paper and drenched her hands with gore. The scent filled my lungs and spittle filled my mouth as my sister cut into the next thrall, right across his face. The man spun, fountaining red, and Ashtrinka cut him crossways at the belly, spilling the best of him into the snow. Selene glanced at me through the fire and smoke, and I wondered what she thought of then, if like me she was picturing the pair of us as children, fighting side by side, defending Papa's forge from legions of make-believe enemies. Ever outnumbered, never outmatched, always lions. And then she was gone, into the chaos without a word. I only had time to pluck the crossbow bolt from my chest before I was struck from behind, a blade crashing across my shoulder and splitting it to the bone. Spinning, I saw Roisin the Red at my back, a wicked long blade in her hand and a snarl on her face. I caught Selene from the corner of my eye, lunging at another thrall, bloody flail cutting the air. And beyond, through the churning smoke, I saw the terrors, their clothes smoking and ruined, sweeping into the keep in furious, bloody-minded search of Dior. Those monsters had stood by while my famille were slaughtered, and I could almost taste the vengeance on my tongue. But Roisin struck again, and I was forced to face her, fending off her blow one-handed. My counter came close to taking her, bloodied blade cleaving her armour and missing her flesh by only a hair. The vampire's dark eyes were narrowed against my burning light, and I backed off to breathe,
left arm hanging limp, crossbow bolt still protruding from my shoulder. I heard a sharp crack, felt an impact in my belly, a shot from a pistol. Through the smoke, I caught sight of Liviana reloading a wheel lock, little Fetch taking aim beside her. And, belly sinking, I realized the Highbloods were on me, three at one, intent on avenging their fallen prince and claiming the head that Danton failed to. Instead of tasting vengeance, I just might end up eating theirs. Fetch fired. I spun aside with a gasp, hurling my sword with all my strength. The blade whooshed as it spun through the air, taking the little bastard in the chest and lifting him clean off his feet. Flying backwards, Fetch skidded back through the rubble, clutching the blade buried in his black little heart. His fingers sizzled like bacon on a skillet, and his scream filled the night as the blood of the Grail did its work, spreading outward from the wound in his chest and engulfing his body in blinding flame. I saw a red blur behind Liviana, my sister striking through the smoke. I crashed into Roisin barehanded, gasping as I felt her sword sink into my gut, the steel twisting as it scraped my spine. This close, I could see the hate and fear in the vampire's eyes. The night of murder, her terror of death, smelling the blood on her breath as she hissed in hatred. My hands closed around her throat, and I bore her down into the bloody snow, and she twisted her sword again, splitting muscle and sundering bowel. We were nothing but children then, flailing on the ground, no form, no finesse, just hate and blood and silver and teeth, and the gift my unholy father had given me tingling at the tips of my fingers. The gift of the Asani, sanguimancy. Roisin shrieked as her blood began to boil. It bubbled into her eyes first, white flooding red. She screamed again as her porcelain throat began to blacken, scalding blood pouring through the cracks, melting the snow around us as I squeezed harder. Her tongue lolled between her fangs, and she clawed my face, fingers slipping into my mouth. I bit down hard, bone crunching, delicious burning red flooding my tongue as the vampire wailed, screamed, body convulsing and spine arching and corpse finally bursting into ashes in my hands, leaving only a blackened ruin inside her smoking mail. I rose in the chaos, gasping, intestines spilling between my fingers, shoulder stuck and back split wide. Head still ringing with thoughts of vengeance, fear for Phoebe, I turned just in time to see Liviana falling to her knees before Selene. My sister's foe was bloodied, torn, one arm a smoking stump, her dress now drenched with blood. My sister's strength was terrifying. The fact a fledgling stood so tall against these foes made no sense at all. But Selene seized Liviana's neck, the exposed muscle flexing obscenely along her jaw as she opened her mouth wide. And there, in the burning Lion's Mouth Square, I watched as my sister sank her teeth into her enemy's throat. Gabriel shook his head, running one finger gentle across his lips. They call it the kiss. The rapture a vampire's victim feels as those fangs pierce skin, as that blood rushes hot and thick. No drug can hold a candle to it. No sin of the flesh can possibly compare. Once tasted, some folk will do anything to experience it again, sacrifice their freedom, their very lives, just to shiver through that bloody bliss one more time. And I saw it take Liviana too, her lashes fluttering, a shuddering, lover's moan slipping her lips as Selene drank deeper. But then, horror broke through the heaven of it, Liviana's eyes widening, flooding with fear as they met mine, as we both realized the awful truth. Selene wasn't stopping. Liviana gasped, clawing my sister with her one good hand. But Selene held her still, digging into the vampire's throat like some starving tick, drinking, swallowing, her whole body shivering with the desire of it. Liviana's porcelain skin began to wither, to grey, like fruit overlong on the vine. She bucked once, feeble, as what was left inside her clawed at the bound of its immortal shell, eyes filled with utter terror now. And with one final ear-splitting scream, her body trembled toe to crown and crumbled to dust in my sister's arms. Selene stood, dragging knuckles across her bloody mouth. And though it might have been a trick of the light, I swear the wound at her face and throat had lessened some. Muscle thickening on bone, translucent skin stitching onto dead flesh. The shade of her irises had deepened, from the ghost white of death to a faintest hint of the brown they'd been. They rolled back in her head, lashes fluttering, euphoric. "By this blood," she breathed, "shall we have life eternal?" A chunk of rubble flew out of the darkness, big as a wheelbarrow. It collided with Selene's shoulder and head, smashed her into the pavement, splintering bone and pulping flesh. Her body was sent sprawling, her blade and flail splashing into the snow, a long smear of blood left in her wake. "Selene," I roared. "Abomination!" I looked to the battlements above. The terrors stood there, fury in their black eyes as they wrenched another chunk of stone free. They were Ironheart, not untamed, but their strength was still unholy. Eldest daughters of the Forever King, blood thickened by centuries of murder. And though my sister was granddaughter of that same sovereign, the impact had been terrible, leaving her motionless in the snow, ribs crushed, skull broken. The terrors hurled their stone, sailing silent towards Selene. With a cry, I launched myself across the gulf between us, feeling my wounds tear wider as I scooped her body up and rolled aside through the ash and frost. The chunk of broken parapet struck the flagstones with a boom, smashing them to splinters. I rolled to my feet, holding my guts in with one hand, ready for another strike. But as their fingers touched stone, a shadow hit the terrors from behind, blood-red, black-clawed, ash-grey. The prey that had eluded them through Lion's Mouth Keep had now become their hunter, Phoebe's striking like an assassin's blade. Wicked talons tore deep into Alba's back, fabric shredding as the vampires cursed, spinning to face their new foe. "Hello, flowers," Phoebe smiled. The Dusk Dancer struck again, twirling, weaving, truly dancing between the pair as her claws sang. And though their skin was iron, I was astonished as Phoebe opened Alba's pale face from jaw to brow, Alain's left arm from elbow to wrist, talons sinking through marbled skin and scraping dead bone. As she moved, a flame-red blur through the smoke and cinders, it seemed for a moment Phoebe might prove the victor. That whatever dark magics flowed through the ink on her skin and the poisonous blood of her kind might win through alone, even against the unholy might of two princes of forever. But though Phoebe moved swift as a summer stream, in the end, this was winter. And she stood against Coldblood's old as mountains after all. Alba lashed out, a gleaming blade hidden inside her rider's crop. As Phoebe wove aside from the blow, Alain narrowed her eyes, gaze locked on Phoebe. The Dusk Dancer staggered, swaying, one ash-streaked hand clutching her brow. A hollow groan slipped her teeth, rising into a shuddering roar. "Get out of my head!" as the second Forever Prince seized hold of her throat. "All shall kneel." Alba lashed out with one bloody fist, catching Phoebe square in her breast. I heard a sickening crunch, a bursting sound, like a bulging sack of mud and sticks dropped from some great height. Alain smashed Phoebe's head into the battlements, once, twice, three times, skull crunching like eggshells. And my heart sank in my bleeding chest as the terror hurled the Dusk Dancer's body from the battlements. Phoebe flew across the square, crashing into the belfry of Lion's Mouth Cathedral. Stonework collapsing all about her. She tumbled onto the sodden cobbles like a broken, boneless doll. Barely walking, barely breathing, I staggered to fetch his remains. Still holding my insides inside me, I snatched up Ashdrinker, the blade caked in soot and burned blood, still humming that funeral dirge in my head. Raising my sword, I turned to see the terrors drop down from the wall, blades gleaming in their hands. I was covered in gore and ash, the light of my aegis smothered. Their eyes were still narrowed against it, minds crashing against mine like battering rams on a castle gate. All thoughts of vengeance had fled now, only desperate hopes of survival the remainder. "Your papa awaits me in the east, remember?" I wheezed. "Our father shall be displeased we slaughtered thee, lion," Alain said. Alba touched the bone-deep wound in her face, looked at her bloodied fingers as if astonished to find herself bleeding. "But for thee, we shall risk the wrath of a king," she hissed. I glanced to Phoebe, crushed against the chapel wall, my sister, smashed and bloodied by the burning fountain. The flames were dying now, the buildings mostly burned through, just smoke and ash and the slow chill of winter's deep creeping back into the air. The terrors stalked across red snow toward me as I wheezed my final words. "Fuck my... Gabriel!" The cry echoed in the night. Above my thumping pulse, the creak of collapsing homes, the wail of wounded thralls. And beneath, I heard the thunder of hoofbeats from the east gate. Through the cinder rain and smoke and the first fat flakes of a new snow, I caught a rush of oncoming shadows, a glimpse of ash-white hair, and my heart sank right into my boots as I realized, "God damn you, girl."
"Beautiful," came a silver whisper. "So beautiful."
She rode a pale stallion, silver steel blade drenched with her own blood and raised high. In her other hand, Dior held reins, leading another Susia through the fire behind her. The terrors turned toward Dior, dark eyes agleam.
"You!"
The girl swung her silver steel at Elaine as she thundered past, teeth bared, eyes ablaze. Though the swing was clumsy, striking only the vampire's arm, she had all the force of her charge behind that blow, and it would have carved an ordinary limb in half. Instead, her blade simply shattered on the Ironheart's flesh, the girl crying out as silver steel shrapnel flew. But still, the sword's edge had been anointed with her holy blood, and in a blinking, Elaine was whirling, spinning, screaming as her arm caught fire, those white-hot flames spreading on flesh that no ordinary blaze could touch. Shaking, drenched in blood, Celine rose up from the snow at the sound of that ancien's scream. I roared at my sister to run, and drawing my unspent wheel lock, I unloaded a blast of silver shot into the side of Alba's face. Her cheek was already split by Phoebe's claws, her head whipsawing back in a spray of bone and brain. Blood-soaked hair draped about her, Celine broke into a limping run toward Dior's stallion.
"Gabriel, fly!"
I sheathed Ashdrinker, staggering now to Phoebe's side. My stomach rolled as I lifted her body, limp and soaking. The Dusk Dancer's bones were shattered, ears, nose, eyes, all gushing blood. The smell of it, the ache of it, sweet God in heaven, the want of it almost brought me to my knees. But I could still hear faint breath bubbling in her lungs, and willing my awful thirst down, out, away, I slung Phoebe onto my shoulder and dashed toward the second of Dior's horses. My breath was fire, ribs grinding beneath my skin, body and hair drenched in gore and ash, but still, I was pale blood born. And reaching out with red-slicked hands, I seized hold of the saddle as the terrified beast bolted past. I've no clue how I dragged myself up onto her back, nor how I kept a hold of Phoebe, but somehow I managed both. The Dusk Dancer slung over the saddle before me, and me bent double atop her. We charged toward the east gate, and I croaked warning about the guards the Voss had left behind. But as we thundered beneath the archway, I saw only hoofprints and the lone Voss thrall sword in a frozen puddle of blood. His neck opened ear to ear. I remembered Dior threatening to cut Selene's throat, I remembered her plunging Ashdrinker through Danton's back. I remembered her slaughtering those inquisitors in Clayland Priory. And for a second, I wondered if she'd given this fellow any warning, if he'd even known the knife was at his throat before she cut it to the bone. Dior twisted in the saddle to check on me. The wind whipped through her ashen hair, and the moons broke brief through the clouds, shining in a red halo behind her head. "Still with me?" she called. "Still with you," I whispered. And looking at her, riding at the lead of our bloodied company with bloodied hands, I wondered again what kind of woman this girl might grow up to be.